Are you going to allow everybody who wants to send for any change out or the important thing you want to do so?
But now it's a question of import quota to the industrialists and the traders. Sometimes they want this thing done with speed, but our administration doesn't seem geared to doing that.
Yeah. Everything can be oil. Not necessarily with palm oil. Can be done if required, if there is somebody who is willing enough to take the trouble, whether he benefits from it or not. Very often it's lack of staff, but then of course that's a matter which we have to basically put right.
I noticed that you were acting permanent secretary to the Ministry of Agriculture and Food for a little while. That was under CP Chakraborty.
That would have been, what was the year?
56.
That would have been Philip.
How did you find Philip as a minister?
Very sure of himself, knowing where he was going.
He knew where he was going. And did he know the facts and the figures which, you know, to help him to get there? Was it on a sound base?
If he wanted to, he would have got at the facts. I don't know, he didn't worry whether the facts were there or not.
And where was he going and what was his emphasis?
Oh, I think he was definitely out to let the, shall we say, the average peasant make something of himself, feel a little independent, give up the ehei hamlu mentality which quite a lot of them still continue to have even after 56. His mainly concern is getting a job of work done, and he is even today.
What do you think of his Paddy Lands Bill, which came later?
I think that did a lot to help the present party.
And it has been criticized as a Marxist measure, or was it in fact so?
No, I think it was a progressive measure under any circumstances.
Well, personally, looking at it, at least the one that was passed, it seems to be based more on liberal theories than on Marxist theories.
Naturally, even quite a lot of socialism, shall we say, is bound to spring of its own accord under a liberal and reasonable policy of giving another man due consideration. In fact, if you treat the other man as you would like to see yourself treated, it will undoubtedly result in this type of socialism.
Turning to your period as ATA revenue, did you have to apply the land development also?
Not very much, we were just starting to in one or two areas. That was just coming into operation.
I don't know how familiar you are with the ordinance, but...
Not now, certainly. Mm-hmm. We had started one or two settlements.
You wouldn't like to comment on
no,
principles?
No, I don't remember anything about it.
And regarding your training itself in Kandy and then of course as OA, Ratnapura and in Bajra, I mean I know something about the process of training, but didn't you feel it was somewhat too empirical?
Actually, at that time, there is no other method of gaining experience. No other method of training, rather, except by empirical methods.
Couldn't you have had a short course in Colombo on business administration, Latin?
Business administration, I think, is a later concept.
But then Singhal is land tenure, and I don't know whether political theory is what it is, but certainly we are thinking of tenure in Padre.
Well, I don't think there were opportunities for putting those things about land into practice in any case.
I asked a question about training, because there's always this conflict. People say it's better to do it on the job, and others say that a little bit of theory is all right.
I personally think it's better to do it on the job. What better place for business administration than in business administration? In fact, if you really want to know what I feel about it, I think the best method is really working in business administration and then doing some, and not the other way around. You must first know something of what is happening. Have some idea.
But as a cadet, you've given far too little responsibility.
No, I was given a lot of responsibility. In fact, I had only a cadetship of 9 months. Within 9 months, after 9 months, I became away at Kandy, and cadetship was virtually over.
Who were you under as a cadet?
What
sort of chapter was it?
Very sincere. Sincere, fair type.
Was he the orthodox type, or the one who was willing to adopt an orthodox method?
He was orthodox.
You
know, I can't survive without you. That's
sympathy
with
the villager?
Very good. Most of the GS had a lot of sympathy with the villager. Whom they treated more like children.
Paternally. And in Ratnapura and Bachelor, who were you under?
Ratnapura, I had Polia and Luddington and Polia. Luddington was an unorthodox type.
Did he have a rather quick mind, you suppose? Yeah,
very quick. Yeah. Very quick.
Some of the big clocks and the temple, so if you want
to jump with another GA, would I might have taken days on, he would finish in a few minutes.
I find it strange that he was passed over for promotion to the secretary, whereas other more pedestrian types seem to have gotten
interested. Well, he was rather an independent type. He was definitely a rough and ready type.
Would it be like a social background that?
Could be. He didn't appear to have that very high tone that some of the people.
Now, for instance, comparing him and Collins, who had the, rather immediate, but who were...
Collins would have had more polish also.
Yes, but in terms of ability?
I would have preferred Luddington. He made a decision in no time.
To give an impression to people who don't know it about the whole setup, the leading movement.
And if I may ask something about the leading civil servant, particularly Drayton and... later on, Marhol and...
Drayton was a legal man.
But he became chief secretary.
Yes, but he had been a legal secretary or something.
How was he as chief secretary?
All right, I guess at that stage we did not know very much about the chief secretary doing, as you might say, up to.
When you were training, were you taken out on circuit very often?
A few times, either GA or additional GA.
Mm-hmm. Did you consider that the best sort of training? Better than any other method? Say discussion is the AGA.
So we had both. I certainly liked the trips with the GA. See how he worked with the people, how the people came to him.
You should take an elephant ride, you know,
I can't. You saw the last time, didn't you? Yes. Final question on civil service. I was wondering about the salary. different structure as existing in British times and even today. Not merely civil service, the public service as a whole. It's noticeable that the lower grades, like clerks and the CNs and so on and so forth, get so little, and that the gap between this lower level and the top grade is very wide.
That gap is being comparatively reduced every salary change, in as much as those salaries receive comparatively greater increases than the higher
salaries.
Don't you think that this creates an economic deficit and frustration, especially at the class level?
Possibly it did. The only thing is that there was no alternative, as it was the civil service salaries at that time, which were the higher salaries. About the bare minimum that would have attracted the talent in
No, I think if there are real necessities of raising the lower level, so then the cost is a problem.
The trouble is, you have to first decide when you want the higher level man, what salary would attract. Because the lower level will always get filled. May not be by the best at the lower level, but then who wants the best at the lower level? Then somebody else in any case has got to give a decision.
But don't you think
I certainly feel the present system whereby they take 40 or 50 into the administrative service from one examination, all on the same equality, certainly less preferable than the old one, whereby the only maximum of about 10% were taken for a year. And they had a secondary service for the rest.
Mm-hmm. You think the unified?
I would certainly say that the difference between number 10 and number 20 and 30 and 40 is considerable. Not talking of even 1 and 2.
You mean the difference in quality?
The difference in quality.
So you prefer the unified system?
No, I prefer the old system, whereby there are only 10 selected for the very top post.
And even looking at the whole lower level, don't you think that the whole bureaucracy is overstaffed at the lower level?
Possibly. Actually, the main reason for the amalgamation came from pressure by people who couldn't get into the if you look through the various people who are in various walks of life now, you'll see quite a large number of them have failed to get into the civil service. And whatever they're doing now is the alternative they found. And they started sniping at it. For that you must look into the list of those who have failed the civil service.
And even the newspapers, many journalists have...
It was a campaign started by those who had failed to get in and supported by actively by newspapers who must have had some extra grind. But I think the country has lost something, having one unified service rather than two distinct ways.
Do you think that this decline in the elitist concept has also affected impartiality and the guardianship concept?
I think so. It's much easier to even control a small service by unwritten laws than a large service by similar laws. I mean, who the hell cares if your service is in the region of 500? What one or two people in it think? What one or two people in it thought means a lot for the service which had only about 100?
What about this question of clerks and forms? People, besides the administrative service, for being red tape-ish and bound by procedural forms.
Sometimes there is no alternative depending on the rules and regulations connected with the matters involved.
Now, for instance, the corporations have been begun as a method of giving them greater textiles, you know, for industrial projects in particular. What do you think of that system?
Operations can be a, can be even more red tape if they want, red tape if they want and government. It's all a matter of those who handle it.
Yes, but it boils down. Many of the corporations now are in the kind of form of...
Actually, the red tape should not affect anyone because if the man concerned is willing to find a method of doing the job.
And what about disciplinary procedure within the service? Hasn't it been, isn't it so complex that officers try and avoid institutions?
No, I won't say that. No, I can't say it is so complex as to be unnecessary. It's really quite a lot of it is based on principles of natural justice. Not much of it is can be eliminated at all.
It's necessary to ensure fairness.
Yes.
But now, for instance, still on having there been a tendency for officers to think of this class family and all if he is, if you institute action, and therefore not to take a hard line.
I couldn't tell you that. Personally, there is nothing that annoyed me more than somebody coming and telling me about his family troubles when he was in trouble. Because I felt that his case should be dealt with in the first instance at least, purely on the basis of his guilt or innocence. And after the question of punishment to be dealt with after the verdict is given, it's different.
What about the switchover to Sinhalese after 56? What effects did it have on performance?
Didn't really make things more difficult, I think.
Didn't?
No.
But didn't they handle it badly? I mean, didn't they make... Wasn't the position very vague?